This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hey guys, and welcome back to the channel. I'm really, really happy to have a good friend of mine, Johnny Cochran from the Arsenal Opinion podcast, to look ahead to discuss Saturday's Premier League match. Johnny, some of you might recognise him because he is quite a funny guy and also a comedian on the circuit as well. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm pleased to be here. The black and gold, it's glistening on my screen right now. I'm, ahead of what is clearly a crunch game for us. I'm pleased to shake it all down and talk through all the talking points ahead of that big game.
Well, there's so much to talk about because Arsenal, obviously, having an absolutely fantastic season again. You've been leading the race and the title chase all season. And obviously you were leading the title race again last season, but obviously Arteta was saying that you've learned a lot from last season because you did tail off and it fell away at the end. And of course, that defeat at the weekend, not just yourself, but also Liverpool losing to Palace as well, have again put Manchester City, perennial winners, know how to win the title, back in the pole position. Obviously, because of that, it's a massive game for Arsenal. Almost, it's a must-win game for you. Wolves, of course, you know, home and hose, safe. Still would want to win the game, but like, there's so much at stake for Arsenal. And do you think Arsenal are going to kind of bottle it again this season, like last season, or do you think that experience from last season will get you over the line, or do you think the nerves are starting to jangle?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you guys as outside observers can work out all the different parameters that are affecting us at the moment. But what it really comes down to is whether you or I or anyone, in terms of as an observer, believe that Arsenal have turned a corner. Have we learned lessons from last year? Have we evolved as a unit? And what could we possibly look into that might give us an inkling as to that happening? So to start off with, obviously, it's a disappointing result on the weekend for us. Villa deserved to beat us. But ultimately, that game was not like a domination from them. Far from it. We should have been home and hosed in the first half. And if we were 2-3-0 up, I think Villa would have downed tools and started thinking about their European fixture this week as well. But this is what happens in the Premier League when you miss chances and you don't put teams away. But the reason for my optimism, and I am optimistic, is that we do look different this year. And we look different because we are a team that has gone to our two biggest rivals, who are the rivals for the title as well, and we've beat them in head-to-heads, both of them. 4 points off both. Now, going to the Etihad, as everyone will know, is just a nigh-on impossible task. And to be fair, when we went up there, we were fully deserving of that point. And we could have nicked it at the end as well, the way that we would set up.
It was a well-executed game plan that day.
Exactly. And so that is kind of Arsenal at their best. I think we're going to have to start channeling it into not only the enormous game that we've got tonight against Bayern, but then also against Wolves.
Yeah, as we're recording this, of course, you've got the second leg of the quarter final against Bayern Munich. So obviously this will go out before that. So what are you expecting for that as well? Are you excited for it?
Well, so I'll keep them separate just because they're two separate things. I just think, fate would have it that the Wolves game will now end up being D-Day for us. We absolutely have to beat you, or you can kiss goodnight to anything serious in the Premier League. And obviously, the Champions League is knockout football, and we know what's on the line. And we head there with a draw, so we have to actually go and beat Bayern Munich in their ground. I am looking forward to it. Cautiously optimistic, but in reality, is if we went out, I wouldn't be shocked by any stretch. It's going to be a tall order. But at some point, we have to grow up. The things that worry me are some of our biggest strengths are starting to wilt a little bit. And that is Declan Rice, who I think has been the best player in the league this year. He started to look a little bit leggy in a couple of games. And that's what happens when you play every single game all the time. You know, at some point, fatigue starts to catch up. Two meaningless games for England. One of them, yes, he's captaining, but doesn't need to do the 90. Gareth forced him into it either way. And it's, we're paying the price now. But we're going to need a big game from him, going to need a big game from Saka. Odegaard's in great form at the moment, which is a positive. And we're going to need to, really put on a show. But Bayern Munich are a team that are fragile on confidence. And this is so much the case at this stage, Dave, of the season. For every team in all sorts of leagues, most people tend to know who they are right now as a team. And you, as an opponent, have to show them who they are. And that means putting them under pressure. I.e., just like I said about Villa, if we had banged a couple of goals against them, they would have reverted to type at that point and go, you know what, we'll live to fight another day. Let's crack on. We've got other fish to fry. If you give teams encouragement, and I expect this is how it's going to go with Wolves, they will be like, oh, well, you've let us hang around and now we can start hurting you. And that is where I think Arsenal are vulnerable at the moment. But, it's just whether or not we can assert ourselves early enough in the game to, shut it down.
So on that, what have you made of Wolves? I mean, at the start of the season, before the season started, what were your expectations of Wolves, and what have you seen of the Wolves this season and the job that Gary O'Neill has done?
So Wolves, I think I've actually found quite impressive. I mean, to be honest, I thought there was a good chance we would have gone down last year.
A lot of people had us down for relegation this year. We were a mess in the summer.
It was all over the gaff. I thought Gary O'Neill, I thought, was a plucky manager, but hadn't showed me anything that suggests that he was a Prem level manager, like outright. I think he showed that this year. There's been a step forward. He did some good work with Bournemouth, but ultimately, this seems to be his best job so far, in my opinion. When you played us at the Emirates, I was really impressed with how you went about your work. And there's a couple of highlight players where I feel that Arsenal and Wolves will continue to be kind of bonded, because there may end up being some player transfers between the clubs. Now, between the clubs, I say your player coming to ours. But so the first guy that impressed me is Cunha. After that game, because there's a lot of talk at Arsenal that we need a striker, okay? And after that game at the Emirates, I was like, I think we need to have a look at this guy seriously. He's the right age profile. He's big, he's strong. We've always tended, as you'll obviously know, our most famous proponent of this, have had strikers that can drift out wide and do a bit of wing play, but then also come in and do damage. I'm not suggesting Cunha is the next generation of Thierry Henry, but the fact is that, having strikers like that and versatility work well in our system. But I remember when I was working with you before, in the summer, I mentioned that William Saliba is the best defender in the league, and there were people laughing at me. Now I say it, who's laughing? Who's laughing? Our best two are the best defensive pair in the league and in Europe, for that matter. Anyone who gives them a good game, I doff my cap and I take seriously. It is the litmus test. And I thought, Cunha looked very decent in that. You've obviously got Neto, who for me has started to go to another level, but yeah. Ultimately, it's just the injuries that are the biggest issue with that guy, because he has top-level potential, but if he break down all the time, there's a whole host of players.
He's been with us for 5 years, and we've had 2.5 years on the pitch out of him, so he's been injured that many. In fact, I've done an article for BBC Sport today, if you go on the Wolves page and talking about the summer, and if there's obviously you talk about Cunha and there's Gomez and Kilman and, you know, there's a few others, Ryan Aitnuri, but like if Wolves are going to sell one, it would probably for me be Neto, not because we'd want to sell him, because on his day he's world class, he can destroy. It's because he's just, you don't get him on the pitch, he's a bit of a luxury, and Wolves can't afford a luxury player. So if we get 60-70 million, it's kind of like that would be the one that, sadly, as much as we do love him, if he's not fit half the time, you'd sell him.
And I do agree with that, but unfortunately, I don't think you get 60-70 because of just that. I don't any club, you know, in any good conscience with a player that is that injury prone should not be paying that much money. Still get a good price, but for a guy who, anyone who signs him would be taking a gamble whether they're ever going to see the best out of him, because he's just breaking down all the time. Aitnuri looks good. It came into my fantasy league a couple of weeks ago and has since picked up an injury. In fact, I might ask you live on this, is he going to be back for the weekend?
I believe so, yes.
All right, I'll leave it in there.
He put it like this. He was in the match day squad for the game at the weekend, and he was, even though he got a little bit of a cough, I think it's a cough strain.
Yeah.
But at the last minute, he wasn't in the last match, so he was close.
Right.
So I think they just took him out because they just wanted to protect him. So 7 days on, I'm expecting that Ryan Aitnuri will be involved with the game at the weekend. And as you say, he is super talented. He's been linked with Manchester City this week. He's 22. He's contracted to Wolves till 2026. He was bombed out by Lopetegui. If he'd have gone in the summer for like 5 million, probably no one would have taken any notice. He's brilliant. He's so skillful. He's like the Wolves Messi. He's that good.
Yeah.
There's people sniffing around him as well. Can play further forward, wing back, you know. And you talk about Cunha as well. I mean, how much do you think he's worth?
Well, part of the charm with him is I think that at the moment we would be, any club would be getting him before he's gone to the next level. So it wouldn't be obscene price premiums. But yes, if there was a 50 million, 60 million pound price tag, you know, I'm not sure if Wolves...
We paid about 42, 43 for him.
Yeah, so there's going to be an increase. But I don't think that... I mean, Wolves would try and... It's what I mean is, with a lot of these players, it would ultimately come down to the fact that we, and I know he was your record signer at the time under Lopetegui, wasn't he, I believe.
Yeah.
So it would really depend, and I know this is not nice subject matter, but whether the player starts kicking off and saying, you know, a bigger club's come in for
he's
me.
He's not that type of player, couldn't you?
No.
He's really, really settled at Wolves. He's a big part of the dressing room. He's very, very happy. Mm. You can see the way his demeanour is, and he's enjoying his football at Wolves. As I say, he's not been here that long, so you know, I think he'd probably be one of the most least likely to leave.
Yeah,
on the basis that he's still got a long term contract, that, you know, he's still of a good age. He's starting to break into the Brazilian team. Obviously, he's been out injured as well, so he couldn't play in the last lot of fixtures for Brazil. He's just coming back. Scored a hat-trick against Chelsea, then got injured, typical. Scored a wonder goal at the weekend, and if you saw that goal, he basically ran it on his own and scored against Forest. Brilliant goal. If you haven't seen it, watch it back. He's got everything. He's more of a 10 than a 9, couldn't you? I think it would take a very big bid for him to go at this point, just because Wolves paid so much for him, the way profit and sustainability works, it's not actually you get more, which I think is wrong for selling an academy graduate. Which is wrong, really, because it I think it was discussed recently. Yeah, you know, you want academy kids to be coming through into the team, not just selling them on all the time. But yeah, it's interesting. So you've got your eyes on Cunha and Neto, have you?
Well, my thing is this. So I don't choose how much to spend on players. And obviously, if I was doing it hypothetically, can we get him from as cheap as possible? I was saying this about Ivan Toney. Like, can we get him for 70, 80 million? And Brentford fans will tell you, no, he's 100 million. Like, and I mean, It's the answer probably lies somewhere in between the two often. And ultimately, it comes down to whether the player is... I mean, I do appreciate where you're coming from. You'd know Cunha more than what I would. But there's the opportunity for Cunha to link up with Jesus, who's the other Brazilian striker, maybe form bonds. This is one of the things that went into my thinking. You've got Edu there, who would also be able to facilitate that. But ultimately, it really comes down to whether Arsenal would be interested in doing that. All the reports are that we are, you know, looking elsewhere. There's a guy at Sporting Lisbon who is really attracting interest.
He's a guy that went from Coventry to Sporting
Exactly,
Lisbon.
Yeah.
He linked with him as well last year. He's
Gokeres.
Yeah, that's it, his name. And he's been doing really, really well over there. He was playing in the Championship the year before. Yeah, I mean, with Cunha, don't forget, we have other Portuguese speakers and we have Brazil, you know, Joe Gomez is Brazilian, made his debut for Brazil as well. So we have got a bit of that at Wolves as well. So that sort of, you know, South American sort of links, which is probably why he's settled in quite well.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Which is interesting. I mean, you know, what can Wolves expect from Arsenal at the weekend then for this game? I mean, how are Arsenal going to approach this? Obviously, in the title race, you can't afford to drop any more points. Are you going to go at us from the start? Are you going to be a bit more cautious? How do you see Arsenal and Arteta going for this?
So it is, you know, no holds barred from Arsenal. We can't be conservative. I just don't see how we can go into it like, hey, keep it tight. And no. It's win or go home. And I think, as you'll find, obviously you've got us off the back of our second Champions League game, the emotions. I do honestly believe that tonight will have an impact on that game, depending on what happens. If we get a demoralising defeat, you might catch us. You know, they'll come out and they'll say the right things, but the reality is morale will be low. If you set about us and score an early goal, I'm not sure we'd have it. If we go through buoyant, you know, maybe get some extra players onto the pitch, get some running in their legs, everyone's feeling good, we should set about you with, you know, with some real vigour, and we'll see whether you can handle that or not. It's going to be different because it's at your ground now. So the impetus, and from what I've seen of O'Neill's teams, they always try to come out and play. You're not one of these teams that are just going to be sitting in parking buses against bigger teams. You want to try and match us. And, you know, you reminded me to check where you were on the table. You're absolutely home and hosed. There's no chance of relegation. No chance, really, of pushing on for Europe from what I could see.
Yeah, it's just fell away the last... I mean, Wolves have been hit by a lot of injuries to our forward line, which cost us dearly in the last few weeks. We had four out of our five forwards. Neto out, Wang out, Cunha out, Bellegarde out, or, you know, you take four out of anyone's forward line, and we've struggled. And we've had a lot of success in the fact that we can move the ball, run the ball and move the ball up the field very, very quick and fast. And, you know, we've beaten Tottenham home and away twice this season. We beat Chelsea home and away. And, you know, we love teams that open up against us because we're very... O'Neill is very, very astute at getting us to be able to exploit the gaps with the searing pace and directness that we can get. We lost a lot of that. And like you said, like with Declan Rice, the midfield getting a bit lethargic, I think that's affected us as well because we've got a very small squad playing. I know, obviously, not playing as many games as you because you've got European competitions, but we've got a much smaller squad and we started to see a little bit of maybe tiredness on the team coming in, and it's because they're having to play out of position and picking up like Aitnori picking up that calf injury because he's having to play. You know, we've got a very small squad and that's something that we've got to fix in the summer, which is why we're probably going to have to sell one of our biggest players. Although we're through the worst with FFP now, we have got a little bit of leeway. If we're really going to add to squad depth, we're going to have to probably sell at least one of our top players which is what why you're talking about, and then we can add some quality and depth to the squad. But now we've got, I mean, Cunha's back. He's back for three games. He started the last match, so he's, I've expected he'll start. Wang Yi-chan is back.
He's in the fantasy league as well. He got some minutes in the last game, didn't he? But didn't
15
start.
Minutes. I'll expect that he will get around about 30, 35 minutes in this game. He'll come on. In that Dawson is, who's been, you know, he's probably going to be out because, like, he's probably going to have an operation on his groin. So, you know, they'll probably have Santiago Bueno, Uruguayan international, in the centre. So we've got a very young back line, and we've been a bit naive with some of the goals that we conceded recently. And obviously, you know, Arsenal have got super talented midfield, super talented forwards, and you're strung everywhere you look across the park. But on any given day, any team in the Premier League can beat any team. And Wolves are a team that, yeah, we haven't got much to play for now, but we haven't got much to lose either. So it could be an interesting one. Just to finish up on, you know, what's your score prediction for this game? Your gut feeling and your head and your heart, maybe?
Well, this is a tricky one to do because, as I stated earlier, I honestly do think it could almost go either way based on the Champions League result. They are intrinsically linked, you know, and obviously there could be injuries and all sorts that might come out of it. But if I do it in isolation, I think because we have to win, we find a way. Because otherwise, reality is we're folded for the second year in a row. And I
that's
think
a stigma that will start to get attached with Arteta's teams then, won't it? Oh, exactly. Well, yeah, they're all right. But when it comes, when it really comes down to the big games, they can't hack it. That's what will be, that's what everyone will be saying. And you're nodding there. And I think most Arsenal fans probably agree with that. So it's a big moment for Arteta and for Arsenal, like this week. It's a very, very big moment. Can they cut it when it's on the line?
Well, I consider the Wolves problem to be a little bit like the Brighton problem. And going away to Brighton a couple of weeks ago, you know, that was a daunting situation as well. We've seen how well they've played against some top sides.
They're good football inside our
Yeah, they're both teams that play good football, got good players, can hurt you. Not, you know, defensively rock solid, but also not like shipping goals for fun. And have beaten good sides. And so there was a little bit of caution added into that game. We dealt with our task really well. And I, if things go our way, you know, and obviously, hopefully they do in the Champions League, I consider it to go in a similar fashion. And I'll probably plump for a 1-3 to the Arsenal in this game. A late goal to even make it look a little bit more convincing. But I envisage it to be a tight game throughout. And maybe, you know, we score late on to go ahead and maybe get a final one for a cherry on top when you're pushing forward.
Good feeling. Good feeling. Are you going to win the title?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Yeah. I mean, I said we were at the start of the season. I think we're... Can I be honest? This is what I mean. Like, they are in... I think we're going to win one of these trophies. And right now, it doesn't look like it. But I do think we'll win either the league or the Champions League. So, if we get through in the Champions League and we've got more games, it might mean that we come up short in the league. Guess what? I don't mind being wrong in a prediction. And I don't, that's a very nice, alternate prize. It'll be our first in our club's history. I'd rather win the Champions League, if I'm honest. But, like, marginally, I was only saying marginally. But if certain results play out a certain way, if we can beat you, and this is why it's so massive, I think Man City will drop points at Brighton. I think they'll draw. They've got to play Real Madrid today. And that's going to be another ding-donger.
Oh, my. What a game that was. 3-3. I mean, I think both. I mean, the games last night were insane. I mean, you know, there's so many goals in it. Interestingly enough, Wolves do have a big say in the title race because we've got to play Arsenal, City, and on the last day of the season, Klopp's last hurrah. We're at Anfield.
Wow. Yeah. So where have you got City?
At City.
Okay.
But we have won there before. And obviously, the last match of the season at Anfield, I think obviously for Liverpool fans, it's going to be very, very emotional. To be honest, I think three out of the last six seasons, we've had Liverpool away on the last match of the season. It's crazy. So, so we've got Wolves actually have a big say in the title race. We can drop points off one or two, you never know. I mean, it'd be interesting going into that. For me, going into the last match of the season at Anfield, Klopp's last game, and if the title's on the line for City, Liverpool and Arsenal, to be part of that global thing which everyone's going to be watching and to be there is going to be quite an experience, I say. But you just about think you're going to do it.
I am speaking, with my heart here, because there are a lot of things that kind of, but I have to believe that something's different this year.
If you don't believe it, you won't achieve it.
Exactly. And including the fans. And this comes down to what I say on the pod quite a lot about, I understand the people that would be like, when you're sitting at home watching your team play and it's like, why are you getting so worked up? You're not necessarily affecting what's going on. And I'm like, listen, I actually think that in general, for the fans that get to go to games, but even fans, just general morale, there has to be a point where what the fans give off, the energy they give off, impacts the team and propels them forward. And if ever there was a chance where we got to see it, it was during COVID, where there were empty stadiums. And did you notice the coefficient between home games just completely just pretty much disappeared? There was no longer a home basis. You still knew the perimeters of your pitch and the measurements, so you would have a slight advantage. And yet, people were getting beaten at home a lot because the fans weren't there willing people on. And so, if fans like me can't believe that Arsenal are going to get over the line and we'll go and support them in the stadium, then they never will. It's more than 11 people in any one game. It's the 60,000 you've got in the stands that are making you get over the line and do extra special things. And we are going to need that this year.
Absolutely. And finally, Johnny, as I mentioned at the start of the show, you are a stand-up comic. I've seen some of your stuff. Very, very funny guy. And how can people find more about you if they want to come and see one of your shows? I think you've got a couple the weekend somewhere, but you've got probably lots more the rest of the year. How can people find you to come on see some of your stand-up shows?
Yeah, I'm at iJohnnyCochran on my socials. You can follow me on that. I'll tend to post things about gigs that I'm doing. I'm at Up the Creek Comedy Club in Greenwich next weekend, hosting on that. So that should be fun. Apart from that, I am obviously on the Arsenal Opinion podcast, but I dare say most of your listeners probably won't listen to that week in, week out, because they've got this wonderful pod to listen to. And we just
were talking on that, though. I think we're doing something together on that for the game as well.
Yes, exactly. You certainly are. So there'll be something coming out for that. And we just talked because you were a fan of the show. I was on House of Games recently, Richard Osman's House of Games. That's on iPlayer still. I think it's from a few weeks back. But if you go looking, you'll be able to find it in the latest series.
Did you win?
I can't tell. You're going to have to watch. You're going
to have to watch it back. Absolutely. So that's fantastic. I mean, that's a great little show that is. So that's on BBC iPlayer as well. Check out Johnny's socials. Honestly, incredibly funny guy and an absolute privilege and a pleasure for you to give us your time today to come and talk to us about the game. This season, of course, Arsenal as a whole and the title race. And we do wish you all the best. Not obviously at the weekend, of course, but with the rest of the season and, of course, your Champions League as well this evening.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Dave.
Cheers, guys. All the best. Leave your thoughts in the comment section below. Subscribe if you're new. And check out Johnny and also the Arsenal Opinion podcast. Until the next one, always Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.